morning, I want us to, before we go any further, I want us to take communion together. We try to do this at least once a month. I know maybe you come from a background where maybe you do it. Well, good to see you guys, and welcome to New Life. We're glad that you're here. If this is your first time with us, we're glad that you're here with us this morning. Raina, can I trade out with you? Can you give me that bag, and I'll give you this? Thank you. Well, today is Jersey Sunday. It's Team Sunday. And because it's Team Sunday, and some of you guys are wearing jerseys, you're sporting your colors, you're sporting your team jerseys. Where are my Georgia Tech people at? I knew this was my service, man. Now, I'm going to ask this in the next service, and I'm going to be the only one, okay? But this is it. We're early risers, right? Yes. Now, I did not wear my Georgia Tech jersey today because I'm wearing a winning team today. So we lost yesterday. No, but I'm not a bandwagon fan, thick and thin. Wins or losses, right? We got to stick with our team. So our team today, and I am sporting my jersey today because I'm on New Life's team, and our serve team is wonderful. Everybody who volunteers around here, we can't do what we do without the people who make this happen, right? If you like coming to New Life and you enjoy what happens here on Sundays and Wednesdays and throughout the week, it doesn't happen because I'm the guy making it happen. It happens because there's a lot of people who said, hey, this is important. We have a great opportunity to make a difference in Richmond Hill. And we got together and we want to reflect Jesus in everything we do. And so thank you guys for making this happen. Thank you guys for serving in all the ways that you serve. We could not be the church that we are without you. So thank you today. So I want to ask you this question. How many of you guys know what the fastest growing sport in America is? Pickleball. Does anybody know? Everybody, how many knows what pickleball is? Just raise your hand. All right, if you're not raising your hand, if you were like me and you didn't know when you first heard about pickleball, you didn't know what it was. You thought it was just sitting on the couch watching football with a jar of pickles and eating it. I thought that was pretty good. I'm like, I'm up for that, right? I love dill pickles. I like football, and I can sit around and watch football and eat pickles. But that is not pickleball. Now, I am not a pickleball expert by any stretch of the imagination. I could be good at it. I think I could really be good at it. You know, just me being modest. But I don't know much about it at all. Me and Raina have played before. You know, and that's why we're sporting our team jersey today, because I'm one, she's two. She didn't like that. She wanted to be one, number one. So but we made the jerseys. So she just got what was left over. But she's my teammate. She was my pickleball partner when we played, and we went out. It was a Sunday evening, I think. We went out to the pickleball courts, and basically it was our youth. They had taken over like the back courts, and they were playing pickleball, and so they were trying to teach us how to play, and they were very gracious, and but they didn't take too much time with us because they had their own agenda. But we went out there and we played. And what I understand about pickleball, and this is what pickleball experts will say, that the most important part of pickleball is what? Don't hurt yourself. That's exactly right. Thank you so much. The next most important part of pickleball is the serve, okay? Did you like that? I practice that a lot, okay? Is the serve. The most important part of pickleball is the serve. And experts will tell you that. If you do not get the serve right, if you don't get it over the net right, there's no chance for you to score any points. And so your best chance of scoring points is to do it on the serve, is to make sure that your serve is good, your serve is crafted, your serve is well-timed, and it's well-placed. Now, I thought about that, and I thought, you know what? I think that's really great, because sports are a great analogy for church. Sports are a great analogy for our spiritual life, and I don't only pick up on that. Paul also talks about that. He uses sports analogies where he talks about boxing. He talks about different things like that and running the race, running races, and so sports are a great metaphor for our spiritual walk and our spiritual life. And so I do believe that just like pickleball, that the serve and how we serve is an extremely important part of our life, spiritual walk, our spiritual life. So I want us to look at that today. And so if you'll go with me, hopefully I won't step on this and break an ankle. If you'll go with me today, and we're going to go to 1 Peter chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 4. So pickleball is the fastest growing sport in the United States. 13.6 million people played pickleball last year, and it's easy to learn. It's good for you, right? It's easy to learn. All ages can do it. It is healthy for you physically. It is healthy for your cardiovascular health, your mental health. It's good for your mental health, your coordination, and your agility. And so it's good. I love that it's healthy for you. And I think that serving here in church is also healthy for you. Serving in our community is healthy for you. Serving one another is a healthy thing for us to be a part of. And we can prove this. Because when you serve, what happens is it reduces your isolation. It improves your well-being. You have better mental health. These are studies that have been done that says people who serve and volunteer and serve one another, they're healthier people, both physically and mentally. It reduces isolation, improves your physical health. You have increased self-confidence. You have a sense of purpose. Right, so all that sounds really good, doesn't it? And you know what? It's a lot cheaper than a gym membership, okay? How many of you like that right there? You have a hard time going to the gym? Just serve. Find somewhere to serve, right? It has health benefits. Now, on the other hand, what is not so healthy is selfishness. How many of you guys have ever been selfish before? Come on, raise your hand. Raise two hands, because we've all had those moments of selfishness. And I have had my moments of selfishness, and selfishness is not so healthy for us. Selfishness comes at a great cost. A few years ago, there was a study conducted by Ohio State University and University of North Carolina and on the effects of selfishness. And this is what they found, the effects of selfishness. Selfishness was a motivator for poor psychology, physical health, and poor relationships. When you're selfish, it affects your mental health, it affects your physical health, and it affects your relationships. Now, you already knew it affected your relationships, because if you had brothers and sisters growing up and you were selfish, that affected your relationship, didn't it? You get that. You understand that. But it also does this. Materialism was found to be associated with the negative self-appraisals, self-doubt, and self-ambivalence. Right, so even how you look at yourself, when we're selfish and we turn inward, we have a negative view of ourselves, which is kind of interesting, right? You think that when you're selfish that you're turning in, you like yourself. Actually, you don't like yourself as much. There's a lot more self-doubt, and you have a negative self-appraisal. They also discovered that there's a lower life satisfaction. You're not as satisfied with life and how things are working out. And so your outlook on life is different. Selfish people will have symptoms of anxiety and depression over time. They will have less emotional clarity and greater emotional confusion, as well as greater loneliness, right? So it sounds like selfishness comes at a great cost, doesn't it? When you look at all these effects of when we're selfish and when we're stingy and when we're turning inward, it has a great cost to us. So when you serve yourself, that's all you'll have left at some point is you. When you serve yourself, at some point, that's all you'll have left is you. I love what Proverbs 11:24 says. Proverbs 11:24, and we can read this together. Proverbs 11:24, it says, one man gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. I love how the Message version translates this. The world of the generous gets larger and larger, and the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. How many of you have seen that? That when you are generous, your world gets bigger. It seems you can look and see more opportunity. you can look and see that there's greater outlook for you in your life, because it just seems that you are not turning inward. Everything gets bigger. They say everything is bigger in Texas. I think everything is bigger in generosity. I think everything is bigger when we serve. And so the world of the generous gets larger and larger. Serving will open doors that words can't unlock, right? There's all kinds of things that we can tell people. There's all kinds of things that we can say to folks. There's all kinds of good things that we can try to encourage each other with. But you know what unlocks the most doors is when we serve one another, when we show generosity, when we live it out, and when we prove what we say. That opens the most doors. That allows our world to get bigger and bigger. I love what John Maxwell says. He said, small acts of service often have a bigger impact than you realize. Never underestimate the power of a simple, selfless gesture, right? How many of you know that's true? That you've had somebody do something small for you, and you know what? It seemed massive at the time. Maybe it just really stood out to you. And maybe it wasn't nothing really big at all, but it just showed, man, somebody cared. Somebody noticed. Somebody was there. How many have you had somebody that has been there for you like that? And I have as well. There was a pastor that I was listening to. He was talking about his church. And his church does these servant outreaches. And they were doing a thing where, have you been through, maybe you've done this before, where you've gone through and you paid for somebody's meal behind you in the drive-thru. Anybody ever done that? You ever paid for somebody's meal behind you in the drive-thru? I thought I did that for my neighbor one day. I went to McDonald's up here, and I looked in the rearview mirror. I think that's my neighbor. And so I paid for the meal. And the guy who worked in McDonald's, I thought it was his mom. I said, hey, I think I just paid for your mom's meal. And he looked at the waiter. He said, that's not my mom. So I was like, okay, I just paid for whoever's meal behind me. I didn't care at that point, right? But the story goes that this guy's church, they did that. They were just doing these acts of kindness and just trying to serve in their community. And he said that this person did that one day at the drive-thru, and the lady behind them she received the meal, and he basically just left a little card that said, hey, this is just God's love, and it had the church name on the back of it. And so she took a picture of the people as they were pulling off. She didn't know who they were. She took a picture of their license tag. And the only thing that she had to connect that with was this church. And so she calls the church, and she said, hey, I need to let you know that somebody paid for my meal at this drive-thru. And they said, well, yeah, that's great. I said, that's kind of, we've had some people doing that in our community. She says, no, well, you don't understand. She says, I was going to go home and I was going to take my own life. She said, I just want you to let them know, right? And what an amazing impact that had on this person. And they didn't know. And you're right, that you don't know what your acts will do. You don't know what that moment means to someone. I've told you this story before. My dad passed away in 2013, but when he passed away, there was a guy that reached out to me just a couple days after his funeral, and he said, I don't know if you know this. He's like, your dad was walking. He was pastoring church in Douglas, and he said he was walking around the track out there, you know, like he usually did. And he said one day he saw this guy, and said he just went over and started talking to him and actually wound up praying with him. And he said, what you didn't know was that was my uncle. And my uncle had planned, he had driven to the park that day, and he was going to take his own life. He said, your dad didn't know that. He said, and I'm so grateful that your dad took the time just to stop and talk with him and pray with him, right? And so sometimes we don't know, but it's that little act that we put in God's hands. And we say, Lord, whatever I have, whatever opportunity, whatever skill, whatever talent, whatever I have, God, it's yours. Use it, right? That's how I want to see my life. That's how I want to see, you know what? My stuff, right? And how many of you got stuff? How many of you got so much stuff you had to get extra room for all your stuff, right? And that's how our life is. We fill it with stuff. But I don't want my stuff just to be stuff. I remember we moved to Valdosta, and our neighbor, I really wanted to see our home be just kind of an outpost of the kingdom of God in our neighborhood. You know, we were starting a church, and I wanted our church to be an outpost in the community. But even more than that, I wanted my home to be a light on the street, to be a light in our community. And I remember this guy lived next door, and he came over. He saw I had this ladder, brand new ladder, and he said, "Hey, man," he said, I'm doing some work." He's like, "I need a ladder." He's like, "Can I borrow your ladder?" And for a second, I was like, "No, go get your own ladder, right? It's my ladder. I just bought that ladder. It's brand new. It may not come back." You know how sometimes when neighbors borrow stuff, sometimes it becomes their stuff. But the Holy Spirit checked me, and it's like, "Nah, man, that ain't yours. That ladder's mine. If you belong to me, everything that you have belongs to me." And so I was like, "Yeah, man." I was like, "Go ahead, take the ladder." And I remember just that kind of struck up the conversation. And it wasn't overnight. It was actually months and months and months later. This guy actually came to church, and we got a chance just to pour into his life. And so that's what I'm saying, is that we have to be aware that there are small acts sometimes that we just don't see that can have great, great impact. See, service isn't just kindness. It's an invitation to know Jesus. Service isn't just us being kind. It's always an invite to know what's behind the kindness. There's always an invitation to know what makes you tick. What makes you you? What makes me is Jesus. What has turned my life around is Jesus. What has given me grace is Jesus. Who has given me a second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth? How many of you are on way more chances than that? It's Jesus. And so the love and the grace and the mercy that I have received, He has poured into my life so much that I want it to overflow, and I want to be able to give that out to as many people as I can. I want my life to overflow in that way and to be generous with His grace and His mercy. And so that's why serving isn't just about being kind. It's an invitation to know Jesus. See, our church does ministry around three concepts: discover, connect, share. And maybe if you've been here for a while, you've heard us say this. You've heard us, even on the banner last week, you saw it out there, say we exist to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ, right? You hear us say that. And we say we do this through three concepts: discover, connect, and share. And you say, well, that sharing part is us serving, right? That sharing part really is giving away Jesus. Now, yes, we're going to serve and we're going to do things, and everything that we do, we want people to see Jesus in that. When people walk through these doors, and those of you guys that are ushers and greeters, every time that you smile, every time that you greet them with joy, every time, you don't know what they've been through. You are the front line of the ministry that we do here on Sundays, right? Those of you that serve in kids ministry, in the nursery, or in kids church, you are on the front line. You don't know what that mama has been through all week long when she's coming and she's bringing her precious child to you to drop that baby off. But she might need 45 minutes to have some sanity, right? She might need a few minutes. And you're that front line to say, "Hey, we love you. Jesus loves you even more than that." And it is a chance for us to communicate that in everything that we do. Every cup of coffee that we serve. Every time that we hug somebody's neck and encourage one another. Every time that we get a chance to pray for someone. What we're doing is we're giving Jesus away. So that's everything that happens around here. We want Jesus to be reflected in it. It's not just that you got a job on Sunday. Your job is to give Jesus away. You might say, "Well, I'm just giving coffee away." No, you're giving Jesus away. That's what you're really doing. And you're doing it in every cup of coffee, every time that you give away a donut, every time that you shake someone's hand, every time that you greet someone, every time that you do something like that. What you're doing is you're reflecting Jesus. And we do, that's part of the sharing. See, evangelism is sharing the gospel. We understand that. Evangelism is sharing the gospel. Serving is showing the gospel. Evangelism is sharing it, right? We're going to share what Jesus has done for us. But serving is how we show what Jesus has done for us. How many of you guys in here, Jesus has done something for you? How many of you want people to see that? You want people to see that in how you talk to them, how you interact with them, the joy that you give away, right? I want them to see that in what you do, in every act that happens through this congregation, on this campus, and throughout our community. See, because it's not just on this campus that we serve. We serve on this campus and we serve off this campus. Some of you guys during the flood, you know what? We had a distribution center right here in the church, and it was awesome for a couple days. But a lot of you guys went with that distribution center up to the community house, and you know what? You were still giving away Jesus. You were still giving away Jesus in every act. And some of you guys, you've helped us do follow-up. You've helped us check on people through that flood, and hey, how are you doing? What's going on? You know, what's happening in your life? I know just the past couple weeks, one of our elders got a chance to sit down and have breakfast with this gentleman who came through, and we were able to help him. Just lost his car in the flood, and that's part of how he makes his livelihood. So we were able to help him. And so we've had one of our elders that's been meeting with this guy and just saying, you know what? We just want to give Jesus away. We just want to make sure that you're seeing Jesus in everything that we do. It's not just kindness. It's an invitation to know Jesus. See, I believe this. I believe that saved people serve people. How many of you believe that? I believe that. And you say, what's that mean to be saved? It means that we've been rescued, right? You say, well, what are you talking about, being rescued? Rescued from what? Well, being rescued from hell? Yeah, absolutely, right? Rescued from hell. But even more than that, I think, rescued from my own greed. Rescued from my own selfishness. Rescued from my own consumerism. That's what Jesus is rescuing me from too. And he's turning my eyes from being inward, and he's pointing them outward, and says, these are people that I've died for. These are people, you are people that I've died for. There are people out there that I've died. I don't care if they look like you, they sound like you, they live like you, they smell like you, they vote like you. These are people that I died for. I died so that they could get the invitation. So we believe that saved people serve people, because we have something amazing to give away. See, when we serve, we speak the language of love, and that's God's universal language. Do you get that? Sometimes we could talk in Christianese. You know what Christianese is? Are you saved, sanctified, and baptized with the Holy Ghost, right? And people are like, what does that even mean? I don't even know what that means, right? You know what they do know? They do know when you communicate love to them. When you do something in an act of love, when you meet them at a point where they're at the lowest and they need to experience that, you don't have to speak Christianese. All you have to do is love someone, and that's God's universal language. And you speak that as you love someone and as you serve. So I asked somebody to come play this morning. The last scripture I want to give you is this, John 13 and 5. John 13, beginning in verse 1. And I love this story. And it says, and it was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave the world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, now he showed them. What did he do? He showed them. He showed them the full extent of his love. And the evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. And Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. And so he got up from the meal, he took off his outer clothing, and wrapped the towel around his waist. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Do you see what Jesus was doing? He was washing their feet. Now, I know some of you guys, if you've been in church a long time, and maybe you come from some of the circles like I come from, where we did a thing called foot washing. And I never really understood it. I was like, why do we take our shoes off and somebody's washing our feet? I didn't really get that right. It doesn't really translate in our culture, but we do it because we're reflecting what Jesus is modeling here, right? But see, I think that how that really can translate in our society, where is someone's life dirty and you get a chance to step in and help them? Where is it where someone is in need and you get a chance to just step in and show Jesus? Where is that chance? Do you see who he washed their feet? He said he washed whose feet? He washed the disciples' feet, right? He said, well, those are all his friends. He washed Judas's feet too. Even the one who had already decided he was going to betray him. And Jesus knew that. But what did Jesus do? He served the one who had already made him an enemy. Judas had made Jesus an enemy. Jesus never made Judas an enemy. You see that? Guys, we're not in the business of making enemies. How many of you believe that? I'm not looking to make enemies in this world. I'm not looking to throw stones. I'm not looking to cast guilt. I'm not looking to point fingers. All I'm looking to do is give away Jesus. This morning, that is our mandate, to give away Jesus. And everything that we say, everything that we do, every way that we serve, we have the mandate to give Jesus away. That invitation. And I want you to stand with me today. See, people may doubt what you say, but they will believe what you do. They believe what you do. They may doubt the words that you say. They may doubt the things that you just talk about. But you know what? When you back it up, when you live it out, it makes a difference. And so this morning, I'm just going to ask you to bow your head today.
One.
See, this morning,
two,
it's not just an invitation
one,
for
two,
you to do a random
three,
act of kindness.
Four.
Actually, our acts of kindness aren't random at all. They're very intentional. Our acts of kindness are intentional and they're reflective. They're not random, they're reflection. They're reflection of Jesus because Jesus lives inside of us. And maybe this morning you're here and maybe you've kind of battled with that stinginess. Maybe you've battled with that want to kind of turn inward. And maybe you've seen your world get smaller and smaller and smaller. This morning, I want to invite you to open your world wide up. Open your world wide because God wants to pour into your life generosity. And if you don't know Jesus this morning, that's the place to start. That everything that we do is an invitation to know Jesus. It's an invitation to know him such a way where your world becomes wide, where your world becomes large, where your world can get bigger. So this morning, I'm just going to ask you to pray with me. Lord, we come to you now. And we surrender to you. Lord, just as you didn't make an enemy out of Judas, you're not making an enemy out of us. And you're not pointing fingers at us. And you're not trying to condemn us. All you're doing is reaching your hand out open wide. And you're inviting us to come know you. You're inviting us to come know the big world that you offer. You're inviting us to come know the big love that you offer, the big grace that you offer to us. So we thank you for that now. We thank you that we have the chance to come and know you. So Lord, we receive that now. We receive that invitation to know you. We receive that invitation, Lord, not only to know you, but to serve. And to give your love away. Because, Lord, if we've received your love, it's not for us just to hold on to it, but you want to pour through us and overflow in our life so that we can overflow into somebody else's life. That your love and your grace and your mercy can overflow from our life into someone else's life. Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you that you have good and that you have mercy and that you have grace for us today. And we receive that grace now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can we sing this song real quick? Can we sing this song?